Hello, Voltron fans. We are doing a very special episode tonight of the Voltron After Show on AfterBuzz TV, which makes it sound like there's a moral, but really it's just a season recap with two wonderful guests who have decided to return this season. So, we'll see you after the opening, right after we form Voltron.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
These are really hard to introduce when I can't make stupid puns based on the episode titles.
I love how you implied that the word special meant it was going to be like an after-school special.
It's always on a very special episode
of whatever. We learn about drugs.
Right.
Or we learn about...
I guess on this one we're learning about genocide and why it's bad. You know?
Hey, kids. No. We've had a lot of fun here today, but don't mess with the space-time continuum.
That's a good way. That's a good advice.
Yeah. Pretty much exactly that. That's your moral. Don't be Lotar.
Winners don't do quintessence.
Well, I need that on a shirt.
Hello, everyone. Good you beautiful woman.
Welcome back to the AfterBuzz TV Voltron Legendary Defender After Show. Did you miss us? We are doing a full-on Season 6 recap. We're going to talk about character arcs. We're going to talk about themes. We're going to hit on the things that we weren't able to do when we did individual episode recaps. So let's get this ball rolling. I have with me Red Lion Emma Fyfe.
That's me. I'm here. San Diego Comic-Con is this week. I'm already almost dead, so it's going to be great, you guys. It's going to be a good time.
We'll put you in a healing pod, it'll be fine.
Perfect.
Blue Lion, Alexis Taurus.
Hey guys, I'm not gonna be at Comic-Con, but I'm gonna be silently cheering from all the way over here in the LA heat.
I appreciate it.
Green Lion, Megan Salinas.
Yeah, hey everybody, I'm gonna be, same with Alexis, yay! I'm gonna be standing in front of an air conditioner next week.
And I am Black Lion, Katie Cullen, and I'm still recovering from Anime Expo, are you kidding? And we have joining us tonight our lovely producers and showrunners who have come back. Thank you so much.
Yay!
Lauren Montgomery.
Woo!
Lauren Montgomery.
Yes, yay. That's my name. Right. I introduced myself. I'm Lauren Montgomery. And I am a co-executive producer.
And Joaquin Dos Santos.
Yep. Yeah. Executive producer. Happy to be back. Thanks for having us.
Woo. Thank you guys so much for... Thank you for coming back.
Yeah.
Usually we get you once a season and it's like, it's Lauren and Joaquin time. It's going to be great. And it's like, you're back for a recap. We're so happy.
Yeah. It's a very, special time for us.
I know, because the between season chill. Yeah.
Well, and but it's a brief in between seasons because obviously it was announced end of last week that the series is going to be returning for its seventh season on August 10th. I almost said October 10th, which to me would make a lot more sense.
Sure. Yeah, we've kept it kind of fast and loose with when we premiere and when we announce, and we had no idea that announcement
would come. Surprise!
Surprise!
Yeah. Thanks, Netflix!
Yep. We're just hitting the ground running.
It's true.
Well, now we know, and now we're marking all of our calendars, and honestly, it makes my scheduling life a little easier.
Well, that's why we did it.
Just for me.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That was so nice!
Because we care so much about you guys. You guys are awesome.
Aww!
I will go blush in
the corner. Stop.
Just make the check out to Lauren. Right.
You say that like we have money.
We noticed there was more lights this time around. It was like doing a...
Okay, but there's the we of the hosts and the we of the studio.
Got it.
And there is a difference.
Yeah.
Right. Anyway, before we get too much more sad, let's get this ball rolling. What are your guys' favorite parts of this season?
Ooh, oh, my goodness. Boy. Well, I was, obviously there was a huge culmination this season. There were a lot of things that were paid off. The whole Shiro storyline was something we've been waiting for.
Yes, absolutely.
The whole Keith and Shiro face-off was something that, entirety of the Lotor arc we've been building up to that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I was just happy to bring in Ramel because I think she's super cute and she was one of my faves from the original show.
Yeah. I think for me, any more than any one thing, it was just the culmination of so many storylines that have been kind of heading to this point. So it's hard to pinpoint to just one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
It feels like almost like we're getting a fresh start. Mm-hmm. Like
it does.
We're down the Castle of Lions. We've got Shiro back, and he's okay. And now we're going to Earth, and we have no idea what's going on with the dumpster fire. Aside from the fact that Sendak is a thing.
I was going to say if I can make a comparison to a series that the target audience for this series should absolutely not be watching or reading, which is Game of Thrones. this is very similar in some way, because I remember finishing Storm of Swords, and then there were a lot of people that didn't like Feast for Crows, and I loved Feast for Crows, right? Because I was like, yeah, and the whole world has changed. Of course we're talking about different characters, sure, and getting different perspectives. And so I feel like that is now where we are with Voltron, where one of the things that I think even more so than, say, the end of, season two, there was a very satisfying ending here. And obviously there is still more story to tell, but it's now in this place of, we don't know what's going to happen next, you know? Because I feel like there was a little bit of a logical progression between previous seasons of, okay, well, we're still dealing with the Zarkon storyline, yep, and, well, what happened to Shiro? I don't know. Right. And then Lotor's shown up. Is he a good guy? Is he a bad guy? We got the answer to that this season.
Yeah, did we ever.
And so now, yeah, you've kind of resolved. And also, you know, as somebody that watched Voltron in my youth, but in this occasion, we knew the main sort of bad guys, and now we're in a place of, well, they're not around, so where do we go now?
Yeah, I will be very surprised if Sendak isn't our main villain, or at least one of our main villains, because Hagar kind of Nightcrawler bamped into God only knows where, so obviously she's coming back.
Yeah.
But I would be very surprised if Sendak weren't our main antagonist for at least the first half of this next season,
sure,
or at least the first half of this arc.
I definitely think there's going to be a team up for sure. That's my prediction.
I was going to say
Hagar for sure, and then
it's
obviously
so weird to
Garrison.
Be in proximity to them. Yeah. To the ideas and the hypotheses.
Yeah.
And
yeah. Like, interesting.
Yeah. Like, we should have gotten popcorn before you came in.
Yeah.
So you could just sit here to actively be sitting in a room with people who are theorizing about something that you have already written.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Only it's literally coming out in a month.
Yeah. Which is why we're throwing the theories at each other and not being like, so tell us.
Yes.
That's unfair.
I'm just going to say that Hagar bamfed to Resort Planet. And she's not coming back.
Yeah, she's on vacation. Oh.
She needs a break. That's fine.
Yeah.
She's like,
vacation.
I need some me
she's
time.
Day spa.
Yeah.
She's good.
She's been working hard.
Did you put her on a bus?
She spent thousands of years catering to Zarkon, and then her son was giving her attitude. You know, she needs a me time.
That's
she
right.
needs a me time.
Maybe
that's
a quintessence
right.
bath?
I was wondering, last season we had a big focus on the Voltron Coalition,
mm-hmm.
and this season there's a lot of talk about the Coalition, but we don't get to see very much of them. Was that a conscious decision because you wanted to focus more on the interpersonal relationships and paying off all these other storylines?
It's twofold.
Yeah.
I mean, we have a lot of moving parts, so we have to focus on the things that need the focus.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also sort of the production aspect of it, where a coalition costs a lot of money to
animate.
Yeah.
It's a lot of characters to animate.
Yeah. It's a lot of assets.
Yeah,
and I think for the most part, the interesting stories were happening with our main characters.
Yeah. Sure.
Like, we could cut away and see the Coalition just kind of doing their Peace Corps stuff.
Right.
Yes.
But, there's not, a lot of me in the story.
I feel like that's almost, if you had, an expanded universe of Voltron canon, then that's where you would get the tales of the Coalition.
Totally.
Absolutely.
There's... Yeah, there's video games to be made just on the Coalition themselves.
Totally.
I want it.
Yeah, totally. No, seriously. Give me the light novel. Give me the 5-minute shorts on YouTube.
That's
give
right.
me the whatever. Yeah. I'm down.
Yep. Vlogs from the Coalition would be delightful.
Yeah.
Where is Matt's vlog? And I love that all of the crazy stuff that was going up on the Twitter wound up being pieces of the URL for Shiro's vlog, and then they just released it the next day anyway.
Yeah.
I loved watching the fandom go completely bonkers and then have it be like, oh, it was just that. Wow, we read really deeply into that.
You know what else the fan
everything.
The fandom is going completely bonkers over, and specifically the ones that are in this chat, is they are
Hi,
all
chat.
Dying to know, and I feel like this is maybe a you can't answer because we're going to find out the name of Keith's dad.
Dad.
Pops?
No name needed, y'all.
Yeah.
Not your
Texas Kogane, but
that's what everybody's calling him.
Yeah.
Sure.
Neither are confirmed.
His name is Heath.
Perfect. Yeah. Better than like Deeth or something. Like Dad Deeth.
Now people are going to start calling him Deeth for Dad Deeth.
No, Deeth.
Thanks, Alexis.
What I was trying to do.
Padre.
Thanks for the portmanteau. Oh,
or if we're going with other naming conventions, it would be Kadad.
Kadad.
Yeah, Kadad. Kadad's better.
Yeah. Deeth. K-pop.
K-pop's actually good. K-pop. That's solid.
We're cool with this.
Yeah. Kadad and Krolia.
I like it. My work here is done.
Yeah. I think K-pop wins.
It always does. Oh,
that's a good one.
Go ahead. I was just going to say something we didn't get to talk about last time you guys were in was Lance's character arc. And I know that's something that a lot of our watchers wanted to discuss a little bit.
And I want to discuss it too.
You're not alone. That we haven't been able to touch on over the course of this season because it's been all these really great little pieces in all of these episodes that have very large other focal points.
Yeah.
And so it's nice to be able to come back for a recap episode and be like, yeah, let's look at Lance over the course of the season. Because he's really become the right arm of Voltron.
I'm so proud of him.
He's stepped up. And for me, that really came into focus when they were facing off against Lotor before the generals went, oh, he wants to murder us all? Bye. And Lance calling the shots.
Sure.
Just like, well, we have no Shiro, we have no Keith. Stepping up, let's go. And it worked.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I also just think, too, with Lance, there was this really nice storyline of kind of the disappointment that we all often experience sort of within interpersonal relationships. Yeah. And I think it was handled in a way that felt very realistic. Mm-hmm. And I liked that, you know, when he and Allura kind of had a moment where they were on their own after everything went down with Lotor, that it wasn't immediately her being like, I changed my mind. I'm in love with you now.
Right.
Like, it was a really nice, like, yeah, I don't feel the same way about you, but you know what, buddy? We're going to get through this.
Yeah, I think with Lance, he's grown so much.
Yes,
he's
no longer much.
That guy who's just like going after her. And I think also him, you know, he doesn't necessarily know that she knows the mice told.
Right.
But now that Lotor's out of the picture, it says a lot to his character that he's not immediately like sideways.
Yes. Yeah.
He's just trying to be there as a friend for her because he knows that's what she needs right now.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful progression of a guy who's developed into a man and is thinking more like a mature human being.
A mature person.
I think also on the leadership tip, I think what's cool is that it just kind of came naturally to him. It was his instinct to do. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, he wasn't thrust into the position and said, like, you got to call the shots. He just sort of took the mantle on himself.
Right. And I mean, he was somebody, too, that, you know, as soon as Shiro was out of the picture and it was who's going to pilot the Black Lion, Lance has always been a little bit of he's a very outgoing type of person. I'm trying to get the right adjective to describe Lance. But
brash.
Talks a big game. And it was nice to see this kind of payoff of he is not the leader and nobody is forcing him to step into that position, but it was just something that he kind of naturally came into in a way that felt very organic and believable. And it was heartbreaking, the scene where they were all at the very end of the last episode where they were with Shiro and, you know, Lance coming to the realization that, like, Shiro was trying to tell him what was going on and he couldn't figure it out.
Yeah. I mean, just hearing Lance cry, I think that was a big deal, you know?
Like, there's no way he could have known, but it's so hard not to blame yourself in those situations. Like, I had no idea. I should have figured it out. With what context?
Right, yeah, exactly.
But I'm excited for him, though, because the fact that now maybe this will add to his personality and maybe he'll be able to maybe focus more on things instead of, again, finger guns and whatever the hell you want to call it. But I love that obviously he's not just that anymore.
No.
And that's why I love having, you know, these two characters that are both my favorite, Allura and Lance, and the fact that they've also grown, or Allura's also grown as well as a leader and as a princess and all that kind of stuff. But I'm excited to see how Lance is going to take all of the things that just happened in this season and apply it to the next one.
It's the unique thing with a show like this. I mean, it's highly serialized. Like, you know, it doesn't come along all the time for, you know, animated content.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
you
completely.
You know, sort of Western based.
Yeah.
So it's exciting to see. We knew the trajectory kind of a little ways out and we knew that we wanted him to evolve. But there's still I just want to say there's still plenty of like finger guns. It's not going away.
He still has his moments, and that's what I love about him. Yeah. I'm just saying that it doesn't. I like that it's not the typical character where he's like that all the time, right. And then he has that one serious moment. You're like,
still finger guns,
and he's never going to devolve. He's never going to become like the person he was in episode one.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it'll be really interesting to see them back on Earth because they left Earth as the screw ups. We have the guy that we all presumed was dead because we don't want to deal with the reality of an alien invasion. Thanks, Garrison. We have the dropout, and we have the three people who are the bottom of the class, and they come back and they're intergalactic heroes, and it's just like, okay.
Assuming Earth's still there.
No, I was going to say that. I was like, if you're going with Megan's theory, we don't even know if it's going to be an Earth.
There's
there's a lot of discussion in chat, and it was something that I also did see on the internet a little bit as well with the Shiro vlog coming out, and people asking if Lance was the one who recorded their vlogs, and I don't really know where this question comes from.
It's the whole heroic men and women and Lance. Like,
I'm pretty sure he's joking.
He's making a joke.
Yeah.
That's a joke.
It's a joke.
Yeah.
Cool.
At Lance's expense. He considers Lance a human being.
Yes.
And a person.
Yes.
With a gender.
Yeah. Leave my boy alone, okay? He's awesome. Stop it.
I mean, I laughed.
I mean, of course, but still, leave him alone.
It's funny, but
I got you, baby boo.
Don't take it too seriously.
Yeah.
Jeez. I mean, speaking of going back to Earth, and this is one of my favorite lines of conversation that I've just seen in the fandom, Christina Martinez in chat says, what about Pidge's mom?
I mean, we know she exists.
Yeah. And the fact that she's a strong human being for losing her entire family.
I would be very surprised if she weren't just beating down the garrison's door after a certain amount of time. Like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I feel like she's just commandeered a rocket ship.
She's just building one in the yard.
Yeah.
Ma'am, you don't have the permits for that? I literally don't care.
I still think it'd be hilarious if, like, she's taking off as soon as they
Poor thing. She, like, sees them.
Was that my daughter waving from the cockpit of a giant
lion? How do you get this thing to do a U-turn?
I love it.
That's amazing.
That'll be a fun family reunion, provided that we get a hold of Matt and tell him we're going home.
Speaking of Pidge, I mean, Pidge had a lot of pivotal moments this season, too. Once we resolved the issue of her family dynamic, I was kind of wondering where's Pidge going to go this season? And what we got was exceedingly interesting. Was that something you guys sort of, like, what did you guys have in mind for like, what you wanted Pidge's storyline to hit once the family stuff was resolved?
I mean, the family stuff was the big hurdle. You know? So from there, it was just about building complexities and a little bit of depth into a character that sort of like overcome her biggest.
Yeah. And I think it was fascinating too that because you do often run into the dilemma of kind of falling into this character has overcome the main challenge.
Yeah.
Where else do you go with them? Right. And I feel like that was certainly not the case with Pidge. It's been fun to see her actually kind of become more present with the team as, you know, she sends her dad back to Earth and her brother's off being a space rebel. And but she's still very much part of Team Voltron. And also to see how much of a familial connection she's developed with the other paladins, especially in regards to the whole situation with Shiro, where she like downloaded and made a copy of his arm in case the worst happened and then she couldn't fire on him. It was
finding out how her mind really works. Mm-hmm. It was definitely something very poignant in this season.
I think, you know, there's a little cutaway where, you know, you cut to everybody's reaction as she sort of gives them the information. But I think they're also reacting to the fact that, like, whoa, you know, Pidge sort of was dealing with the pressure of having this on her shoulders this whole time. And it ultimately came to fruition. But I think it, even to the crew, it was like, oh, my gosh, like, she's heavy. She's got some stuff going on.
She plays a lot of chess.
Everybody's making a mental note. Note to self, do not cross Pidge.
She's kind of got everybody's arm downloaded.
I feel like anyone who knows anything about her would have made that mental note 4 seasons ago.
At least.
They made the note, but now it's in highlight.
It's tattooed on their arm. Like, okay. I actually got a chance to talk with Bex at Anime Expo, and she said one of her favorite moments of the season was Pidge unable to take the shot at Shiro. Which I thought was really interesting.
I mean,
you know, to me, just at the end of the day, even though, yes, she is this very logical and scientific person, at the end of the day, she's still a person, and it's still Shiro, and she still cares very much for him. Mm-hmm. So, you know.
It's a tough situation.
It is.
Yeah. The cloning sitch.
The cloning sitch. There is a lot. Yeah. A lot going on there.
Yeah. Speaking of that, let's talk about that.
Glad at that. That's
good
a
segue.
Great segue.
Well, let's talk
segue.
About the army of Karan.
Yeah.
Whew. Yikes. Why were there like 300 of them?
Just in case.
You never know. You have to always be prepared. Even
I'd say like with something like a project of that, you know, level of complication. Sure. There's a lot of kind of rejects, a lot that like, you know, a synapse misfires, something. It's just one thing goes wrong and that Shiro is unusable. So they got to make a bunch so they can get the one good guy.
Why you do humans like the reverse... have so many chromosomes?
Yeah.
Exactly. It's like, did you guys ever see Multiplicity?
Yeah.
It's like each clone became like a sort of degraded version of the previous one.
Yeah, that's what I thought they were going to look like, to be honest.
Like faxing us
that. Melting slowly.
No, I mean, like, I was thinking that we were going to get, like, he was going to find them, and then they were going to be like the rejects, and then there's like the one Shiro, and then the Shiro he has to fight.
Yeah.
I just thought it would be interesting.
We thought about it. I think we thought about some test tubes with like just a tuft of hair.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That's all that made it through.
Shiro's in progress.
Yeah. Oh my God. The evolution of man, but just a bunch of failed Shiro clones are a good one.
Anybody see Alien 4?
No.
Terrifying imagery.
You just gave some people in the chat flashbacks. repressed that.
But talking about that, like the presentation of that entire sequence was haunting, but at the same time gorgeous. Was there a lot of discussion about how to visually present and make this full reveal?
I think it was just, you know, thinking about a giant facility, cold, isolating, wind whipping. You know, a lot of that stuff was kind of built into the script. I think Owen Sullivan, you know, boarded. Yeah. The majority of that sequence, I think,
and
all
he's
of that
just
sequence.
A super talented guy. Yeah. Like you don't really have to tell him a whole lot for him to know what he needs to do
and make it his own. And yeah.
And did we have the design before or after? I think William had built a little thing.
He built. Yeah, we have basically we use like very very rough SketchUp models. So he built sort of like the map for everything, and then it kind of evolved as the storyboard was evolving.
So the marriage of designer and storyteller, story artist and script.
Yeah.
Ending up in a lovely sequence.
Beautiful sequence.
That wound up being a thing of wonder and beauty.
With gravity that comes from where? Who knows?
Wherever we need it.
I
was going to say, I wasn't actively thinking about the fact that there shouldn't be gravity.
That's what the hope was. There was enough gravity from the planet to hold
oxygen,
them.
Yeah.
I just kind of figured that they were in low orbit somewhere.
That's the idea.
I still have questions.
Literally.
My questions had nothing to do with gravity and everything to do with, okay, but why though? Like, why do you need that many Shiro? And then, you know, the whole fandom's like, I need that many Shiros. I will adopt every Shiro. They're all my Shiros.
Who knows? Maybe she was going to make an army. Yeah. A whole army.
She might.
An army that could be controlled from a single mind, from a single point. With all of those horrifyingly OP mechanical arms.
That's
holy hell.
Yeah.
No,
she's going to start her own Thunder Down Under franchise.
Wow. Nailed it.
She's a businesswoman.
Be fan art of that.
That's what you didn't see. Everyone had a bow tie on, like, right under their little suit.
Why not? She's single now. She should have some fun.
Oh my God. She's single.
I'm a widow. She's on vacation. Yeah. She's got pool boys now. She's got pool boys lounge.
She no longer has to deal with her crazy ass
son. She's got it. Oh, beautiful.
Yeah.
What a great vacation.
How Hagar brought her group back.
Yeah. That's where she bamfed.
I like, too, that Hagar was the one that made it out of all of that weird, messed up kind of little Zarkon family.
She's just going to eat, pray, love her
way.
It's
my
time.
She's like, I'm going to just do a little soul search.
That's
what's left of it.
Yeah, I've gone with Eat Murder Quintessence, but Eat Pray Love works too.
Yeah, sure. Whatever happens.
That's fine.
Let her do her. It's fine.
Wow. And I think the best thing that I've seen placing two episodes against each other is we have Monsters and Mana, which is incredible. Mm.
And then we turn around and we have genocide, and then we have this the hoedown showdown throwdown.
Wow.
And what I love is that people keep pulling that back from that and taking the one line, I want to be a paladin again, and putting it on the saddest fan arts I've ever seen.
I don't even think we really, like, looked that deep into it.
No, it was just us making pure fun of Shiro.
Yeah.
Like, you're boring, and this is what you want to do.
He doesn't have enough creativity to think of anything else.
That's why.
Yeah. Because he's just too good. And,
he wears his heart on his sleeve.
He does. Yeah. Yeah, he's pure.
He's the Superman.
On the one sleeve he has.
I said sleeve, not sleeves.
Felt the need to specify.
Yeah. Stop making Shiro sad. It's your fault, not ours.
He's sad enough on his own.
Yeah.
There has been Twitter scuttlebutt. Like, I've seen discussion about supposed Twitter scuttlebutt. I haven't seen the actual Twitter scuttlebutt. I've seen people talking about it. God bless my multiple social media networks. That supposedly this next season is going to have one of the saddest Shiro moments yet. One of the most emotional.
I keep hearing rumors about this.
I've heard this thing.
Oh, do they know something I don't know?
I know. What the heck is going on right now?
I would like to know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's like, yes, it's going to be more emotional than this fight we just had. Okay.
I mean, that sounds like a lot of conjecture.
You're going back to Earth. I feel like there's a lot of personal baggage I mean, you think about, like, your Shiros and your Mats and people like that who've actually been gone from Earth for quite a long time.
Yeah. And have been essentially declared dead.
Sure.
Which makes me wonder what happened with the rest of the Paladins when they disappeared from the garrison.
Yeah. Well, you know.
Like, there's no way that families weren't looking into that. Like, you lost my son.
We need to stop losing students, guys. We need to be better.
I just want to see all of... Because you know how Lance was talking about how he has a huge family? I just want to see them all at the garrison just yelling at somebody. And, like,
in Spanish.
Yeah, in Spanish. Like, that's what I want. They're just like,
It's fine. We were just in space fighting an intergalactic war. You what?
And they still pick on him, too. It'd be great.
Of course.
Yeah.
And then Blasphemy in chat, who currently has my favorite name in
Blasphemy.
Chat.
Blasphemy.
Yeah. Says, Shiro has so much baggage, he freaking died. Like,
well, you see,
not incorrect.
What happened was.
He died, and now he's got someone else's memories in with his own, but they're his memories, but they're not.
Yeah.
There's a clone, and... Yeah,
it's complicated.
It's a soap opera plot line.
It's complicated.
Yeah,
this is like
to change your Shiro's status. Consciousness within his physical body is a complicated relationship.
I feel like it was actually a storyline from Joey Tribbiani from Friends on the soap opera that he was working on. His brain got like transplanted or something.
Yeah.
Oh my
god! I mean,
that's a real deal. It's a real thing.
Right. I mean, that is
well,
like
you know where we got it.
Yeah, he was written out of the show, but then he came back.
Yeah.
Yeah, he didn't fall down an elevator shaft. You know what I mean? So,
true.
Truth.
But that is effectively what has happened to Shiro at this point. So,
oh yeah.
So it's like, but I also like too that through Shiro being dead and
dead
Lance,
with three question marks and then crossed out and then written again and then another question mark.
Right, and then like Lance also maybe being dead for a second. Like Allura has got some great healing powers, you guys. She is a good person to have on your team.
Lance has nearly been dead for a second twice.
I know.
Yeah.
Oh.
Dude has bad luck.
Leave my dudes alone.
She's a healer.
She's been a Shiro fan from the beginning. Do you want to talk about leave your dudes alone?
No, we don't talk about this no more.
Occasionally we just lean on each other and cry.
I mean, her entire people are at least like the gifted portion of her people are based on like the transference of quintessence, and that's kind of like the life force of our universe.
Yeah.
So she kind of because she has that ability. She does have the ability to heal, like she healed the Balmera.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and the transference of that quintessence, the removing of Shiro's quintessence from the Black Lion and transferring it into the body.
Yeah, the clone
body. So I know it seems probably like a ton of different, like, look at all these powers she has. She has no limit.
No.
But they're all really tied to, like, one thing.
No, it all felt very connected to me. And
I didn't even think about that.
Nah, it didn't feel like a Deus Ex Machina.
No.
It felt like a natural extension of her abilities. And I will say, to that, as you say, Megan, it being sort of a natural extension of her abilities, in that final scene...
where they were like on a floating comet or something, just to like chill just for a second.
Yeah, they got to take a breather.
The floating comet that had atmosphere.
Sure, yeah, again, the atmosphere. It's fine.
Space man.
Yeah. Yeah. It's part of the Deltarian belt.
Yeah. Yeah.
But where they left Shiro on the ground.
Yeah, we don't have time to lift him up during.
Gently.
The
sure.
Sorry. But her being able to tap into like. The connection that Shiro had with the Black Lion and essentially, like, extract his spirit and return it to that clone body, that all felt very in line with everything else we'd seen her do. So.
You know, it's Voltron science. Yeah. Let it go.
Not actual science, guys.
Like, yeah, I mean, that's why I said Voltron in front of science. Like, it's... Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. Exactly. It's just that moment of Pidge and Hunk looking at each other and going... Magic.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's magic. Yeah. I don't have to explain it.
That was one of my favorite moments.
That's pretty great.
At some
magic.
Point, you just, yeah.
Like, there's, our skills are useless here. We understand. We're incredibly smart, but
we're just going to walk away from this. Yeah.
It's like we have a literal magical space princess and print. Yeah, okay, whatever. Bye. We're going to go off and do our best impersonations of you.
I do, yeah. Absolutely love how it frustrates them so much that they can't quantify her abilities in a way that they have context for.
Yeah.
They're just like, ugh, I can't science this away.
You also ride around in magical lions. I don't understand. Yeah. Like, let it go.
Magical lions that Pidge understands the science enough to modify.
Yeah, that's it, though, because, I mean, sometimes the lions just act on their own and go pick you up, like, you know, like an Uber. Like, it's just like, why?
I think the red lion's kind of the only Uber
the
we
only
had.
One, but, I mean, a black lion, too. Yeah,
it's
yeah.
just Keith.
Yeah, it's just Keith.
Keith needs to be babysat.
Keith keeps getting himself into those situations. Everyone else is more responsible.
It's his fault.
Yep. Well, anyway. Before we wander into Keith, we have some messages from our sponsors.
What up, AfterBuzzers? Our network produces aftershows for nearly all your favorite TV shows. From dramas, reality TV, sci-fi, and more, there is no network that works harder to serve your... to serve television fans. But we need your help. We're asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. By subscribing to our channel, YouTube, wow, that was a weird comma, you will suggest content that's tailor-made for you, and you'll help AfterBuzz continue to grow. And if you're worried about pesky notifications, don't me, because they're optional. So hit the subscribe button now for this channel, and check out our AfterBuzz YouTube channels as well. Let us know, let us know you did so in the comments, and we'll thank you on the air. For now, thanks for being the best fans. That's you guys. Mm-hmm. And for helping us be the ESPN of TV talk.
Wow.
Yeah, so mm-hmm. thank you for doing the thing, you guys. That is one of the ways that you keep us going. And if you want the other really good way to keep us going, head over to iTunes. Mm-hmm. Find our after show as a podcast, because... Yeah, it comes out as an audio podcast. For those of you going, I want to be able to listen to this again on my drive to work. When you commute for an hour, like we do in LA.
Yeah. Don't watch on YouTube while you're
do
driving.
Not do that. That's why we have an audio format. So head over to iTunes, subscribe, leave a rating, leave a review, do all those wonderful things. Leave us 5 stars because you need 5 lines for Voltron, and anything else just won't work. Yeah. And, of course, if you leave a review, we give you a shout-out on the show.
We've got Loving It by Sakura Smezzi. I always look forward to listening to these whenever I'm working.
Yay.
I Love It by Is Miss...
Show me that.
There's a lot of letters here. So alphabet soup. That's the username.
See, it's like trying to read Polish. After about 5 consonants in a row, I give up.
But they say, this is one of my favorite podcasts. I love you. This is amazing, and all the jokes and clear authenticity make it so great. 5 stars for Voltron and 5 stars for you.
Yay!
And then this one, Something About a Dumpster Fire by Krenner.
I think just a paragraph for that one because we're running out of time.
Yeah, just thank you, 5 stars, and they wrote some very, very nice things, so thank you so, so much.
I think that's the second one that we've gotten with the topic of Something About a Dumpster Fire.
At least the second one. Yeah. But Dumpster Fire is the meme that will outlive us.
Mm-hmm. I'll definitely read it to you guys after the show.
Yay!
It's super nice.
Chat is asking the very important question of where is Slav?
Wow. Where is it? Oh,
yeah. He's
in every reality. He's always doing something.
Yep.
So he is a universal constant. Then.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
He's the one constant.
Slav is like Lisa. He's everywhere he wants to be.
That's right.
don't know. He's out. He's with the rebels. He's helping. He's building things. He's doing coalition stuff. You know, we got a budget, guys.
Yeah.
We can only afford so many voice actors per episode.
But Slav novel. Let's do
yeah.
it.
A Slav
novel.
Yeah.
A Slav novel.
I just want him annoying Matt. I just want him latching onto Matt. And it, half the time they're talking science, and half the time Matt is just like...
Well, we had a lot of fun, like, lighthearted moments sprinkled throughout the season, and Monsters of Mana was one of the definitely so a good. Shining sort of moment in this particular season. Do you guys have a favorite lighthearted episode, like, over the course of the last six seasons? Because we have, like, Space Maul.
I did definitely see somebody at Anime Expo cosplaying as Space Small Lance.
Oh, wow.
That made me so happy.
That's awesome.
Like with the pants tied up?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. All, the
so,
whole
like,
thing.
Was it with his pirate outfit?
Yeah, his pirate outfit.
Oh, okay.
I can't remember which one.
Yeah, he was sort of a...
He looked sort of like a... Inventor kind of pirate. Yeah. Yeah, Gran was a Trigun one.
That's right.
Keith had like some Super
like
Saiyan
DBZ.
Armor.
Yeah.
But also like a Char Aznable like mask.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It was very good.
I don't know if there's a favorite. D&D's right up there.
I will say, no full spoiler, but in our upcoming season, that apparently is dropping on us.
Yeah, that's right.
We do have one of our like all-time faves coming up.
Okay.
And but obviously we loved the D&D episode.
Yeah.
It was such a joy. We always enjoyed the Voltron show.
Yeah.
And then the Space Mall. Those are really like our three really big fun ones.
And it just allows us to cut loose like
sort of not
air grievances, but air like whatever we're feeling about making the show.
Yeah.
We get to sort of put that in.
I enjoy Timberwolf 410 in the chat brought up a very good moment, which was the Galra robot getting jettisoned into space.
That's a big one.
Funson.
Oh,
I saw someone at AX wearing a shirt with the fun bot that said later pal dude.
Oh, wow.
I was just like, oh my god.
Where are they getting these things?
Seriously.
Team Public, I have the link. I'll tweet it out.
Thank you.
It was just, I just, like, oh my god, where'd you get your shirt? And then it was, oh my god, are you Katie Collins? So we had
it.
It was great.
That's
hi,
horrible.
If you're watching, I love you.
But yes.
We didn't actually talk about Keith. I said we would,
know,
and then we walked away.
The whole chat's just like,
that guy.
But Keith.
But Keith. You guys, this was a great season for Keith.
It was such a good season for Keith.
Because, I mean, where we left him in terms of being part of the team, he had gotten to a place where he was, like, getting used to being a leader, and then Shiro was fine, and he went, okay, cool, I'm not going to pilot the Black Lion anymore, bye.
Yeah.
And then to see him come back again with this very important knowledge that he learned through Ramel that he needed to share with the team about Lotor actually being a horrible, horrible person. Mm-hmm. And then to jump back in immediately and Shiro gets all possessed and takes off. And Keith is like, whatever, I'm going to pilot the Black Lion. We are going to deal with this.
Yeah.
It was so nice to just see, like, really confident Keith.
Yeah.
He also got to just overcome a ton of his demons, spending time with his mom, finding more about himself. That was a big important goal.
Getting a dog.
Yeah.
Getting a dog's a big
space
one.
Space wolf.
And
getting
a teleporting space wolf.
That'll change you.
Now he understands commitment.
Yes.
That's true.
I feel like the fight with Shiro would have gone so much worse for him had he not had that 2-year stint, had he not had some time to come to terms with things and kind of balance himself.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Absolutely.
I mean, he was very much on a journey of self-discovery when he left to go to train with the Blade of Marmora.
Mm-hmm.
And then the fact that that led him to his mom and having that time to kind of come to terms with things that had happened to him as a child, which we come to find out in this season, were not, like, not great. Like, didn't have the ideal childhood, that's for sure.
No.
But yeah, to sort of, like, make peace with that and then come back and sort of this recognition that, you know, the Voltron team is very much his family,
and
it's important for him to, like, be there for them.
And 2 years, you know, condensed time dilation.
Sure.
Allow you to do that.
Yeah.
Space whale.
Yeah, and also flashing, blinding lights of memories.
Yeah.
That'll change a person.
Exposition.
Look at it.
It's great. Mm-hmm. Were you guys excited to get to explore Crolia's backstory and tell her story
so
as a
cool.
warrior?
Yeah, for sure. I think, you know, when... when we set out to do those stories, there's always that option of like, does she just like talk about it? Do we have just a flashback of her telling him about it?
Right.
How do you do it? And I think Josh had spoken about it. Josh Hamilton, our writer, has spoken about it a little bit on the Let's Voltron podcast. But they do have these talks occasionally at DreamWorks. And one of them was about black holes.
Yep.
And the writers had gone to it. We wanted to go to it, but we're always chained to our desks. The writers got to go, and they learned a lot about that time dilation stuff. And, you know, and it's awesome when they can take that stuff and incorporate it into the show, you know, combined with this idea of these flashes that allow them to kind of see each other's pasts and potentially futures. So it was just a really clever way to do that exposition without it just being your standard.
Yeah.
Let's talk about it.
And saying it. Yeah, you don't have to say it. You're experiencing it.
And I think that was one of my favorite moments from the entire season, the entire season, because the fact that instead of doing it like how you said, where it's like, let's just sit down, chat, and be mother and son over
and come. The whole story.
You know, or just like have Keith like demanding it the entire time kind of thing. I love that it was just like, oh, you're kind of forced to do it, but at the same time, it's kind of nice that this is happening.
Yeah.
And also the fact that you could take science into it. I thought that was really, really cool. And
show,
you know,
don't tell.
And I feel like a lot of shows try to do that, but I feel like you did that in such a crazy way that it stands out in this season or the show as a whole.
Right.
So,
appreciate that.
And I love that it came from almost a more objective point of view. Like, if we'd sat down and gone, okay, Krolia, tell your story, like, it would have been from her bias, from a very different angle, I think, than just, here is what happened from an outsider's perspective.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So it was nice to get that as an audience, and I think for Keith.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just like, oh, this is the full story.
Totally. Mm-hmm. That's the thing, the experiencing it versus having it told to you.
Mm-hmm.
Totally.
That's awesome.
Raspberry Cupcake in chat calls it How I Met Your Mother.
I mean, you imagine that's how that season would have gone. Whoa.
That would have been such a better
I feel like there's a great sketch there.
Sure.
Son, this is how I met your father. Sit down with this space wolf and I'll tell you.
So funny. Mom, I've been sitting on this couch for 2 years. Also, look at this light. So, like, Men in Black meets How I Met Your Mother.
A little bit. I've cut a few more things on my board, but honestly, I think it's all stuff that we were able to cover in individual episodes.
Yeah.
We
talked
about Hunk. God bless Hunk.
Ugh,
we talked
God,
a lot
so
about
good.
Allura. Mm-hmm. We talked a lot about Lotor, and we
did AJ talk a lot about
AJ talked so much about Lotor.
Oh my God.
Oh my goodness.
It was incredible and insane.
The most fun for that was watching him tie himself in knots
trying
to defend Lotor, and then having this moment of, kids, we had fun today, but genocide is bad. Don't do it.
I just think how he was like kind of where, like right there on the couch, and then he slowly started to move against the corner.
Well, yeah, Bex
was
next to him.
Bex is really pushing him over.
Wow.
He was just completely cornered for the entire rest of the episode. It was insane.
I think, though, you know, the writers can write the characters, and you know, we can draw them and talk story and blah blah blah. The actors have to put themselves in the headspace of the character. So you know, I think if anybody finds sympathy with the character, it's the actor. So he's coming at it from a very real place.
Well,
himself.
And it comes from a place too where I believe, and I said this as much to him, that Lotor really believes he's doing the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
He really does. Yeah. And that is what made him so compelling as a villain is because he really did not see himself as a villain. Did he see himself as being sort of entitled to being the one in power because he was making all the right decisions?
Yeah, absolutely.
It was a very curative approach to Altaian culture and a very possessive approach to Altaian culture.
Yes.
I'm part Altaian. I'm a prince. I'm preserving it. I get to choose
right, exactly.
It. It's mine.
And then to be confronted by Allura, who is actually Altaian, going, No. Like, you don't get to make that choice. It was really very good.
And once again, he's had all these Altaians in his space back pocket and didn't tell her and let her continue to think that she and Karan were alone in the universe. Like,
because he thought it was important. You know, he's like, no, we don't have to talk about that.
It was
because trust is more.
Trust isn't the basis of a good relationship or anything.
No, that was definitely a little bit of a power play.
It's about family, you know what I'm saying?
Poor Lotor's never experienced a trusting relationship.
Yeah.
He has no clue.
Idea.
all of his relationships are lies and manipulations. He's like, this is normal. Sure. This is what normal people do.
Of course, once again, secrets.
Yeah. Cool motive. Doesn't everybody still murder? Yeah.
Doesn't justify it in any way.
God no.
Yeah.
Informs it.
It's that's it. And I think it's tough. It's like the nature versus nurture thing. Mm-hmm. At some point, there's not a real black and white to that.
No.
You know, there's a bunch of in between.
Yeah, so. There definitely
is. There's a lot of gray.
Yeah.
Did you guys have fun? Like, looking at his generals, like, they sort of ran the gamut over the last couple seasons.
Oh, yeah.
Did you guys have fun, like, kind of charting their trajectory?
Yeah, a little bit. I know we always knew Aksha was going to be kind of his second in command.
Sure.
And whatever he was doing, she was kind of informed.
Right.
She was privy to his plan, and she was kind of helping him to further it.
Yeah. She was his agent on the inside.
Yeah. Ezor and Zethred, they were just fun. They're just fun characters.
Yeah.
And they're there to help him, but he doesn't trust them in the same way that he trusts Aksha to kind of get stuff.
Sure.
And Narty is a little dead.
Well, we all know what happened there.
R.I.P.
I think we also, you know, when it came time for him to kind of inform them, we just kind of made more of a joke out of it where they were just like, eh, whatever. All right. Are we good? We're good? Okay, let's go.
Like, we just want to be on the winning team.
Yeah.
Is this the winning team now? Let's go.
Yeah.
Oh, no. It's the winning team that wants to murder us.
We'll make our own team.
Yes. Yeah.
We don't want to play anymore.
Yeah. Oh, bye.
Yeah. So, yeah.
And that's when you find out that Lodor hasn't been telling Aksha everything.
No.
Yeah. That he's pretty much keeping secrets from everyone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm hoping that we'll see them again, because they're not dead. They just got thrown into space for, like, the fifth time.
Yeah. That's what they do.
It kind of is. Team Rocket's blasting off again.
Yeah.
We found Aksha, just sort of floating.
They're on
a
resort planet.
Yeah, that's true.
All the Shiro clones, man.
Yeah.
Oh, the best planet.
Yeah.
Can we adopt them?
Aww. The generals or the Shiros?
Both. Yes.
All of them.
Okay.
Not all of them.
I'm in. I'm in. We can have one Shiro.
Aww.
That's enough to go around.
There's so many of them.
One each, though.
You
can
find
good
homes for the rest of them.
Fine.
You find a good no-kill shelter, and
you have to get Sarah McLachlan to sing a song.
Oh, no! Yeah.
To make sure all these Shiros find a home. Can you imagine a black and white?
Okay.
Bonus points
to anyone who does make a full-on Adopt a Shiro Sarah McLachlan video. I need this.
But the shaking Shiro.
We have a
the spell
with the big happy eyes.
We have Shiro in the spell.
We do.
Oh my God.
Yeah. That's true.
Oh, okay. No. We have provided the material.
We're terrible.
Yes, you have.
Put it in your hands.
Internet, it is up to you.
We have to get this slightly back on track. Oh, wait. I think we're getting an audio cue.
No.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
While we're waiting for that, I do want to say that for me, Karan was the MVP of the season.
No, he's always the MVP.
I love him. you look at all these really big stories with our paladins and everyone, and then Karan is just making sure that everything works.
Yeah.
Without him, there is no castle.
And I mean, solved the problems with the castle with some booze. So,
that's it. As you do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like he's always finding some sort of liquid to fix it.
Sweat.
He had a little like John McClane moment. Totally. Like,
sure did.
Too.
God, that was so great.
That's major a great diehard moment. Him just, and Reese's delivery is just like, come on, Grant.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, I'm so good.
Our favorite is when he's bouncing like, through.
Oh, yes.
He goes, at one point he goes, okay, all right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, he's so good. Karan
the gorgeous man.
But he works and he doesn't complain. He's like, things need to get done. I'm going to get them done. He has so much pride in taking care of that castle,
which
is why it was so heartbreaking.
I know.
Give him the diamonds. Give him the diamonds.
It's his grandfather's legacy, too, on top of everything.
That's okay. He can just become that stage mom thing that he was doing before.
Stage manager.
He has a career as a manager.
Yeah,
ahead
and save up money, make another castle.
He can just cast all Bebo Bees.
It's pretty good.
All right, many talents.
We do have to wrap. We have a giveaway winner to announce.
Yeah.
We're going to wrap
up to do. So I will say thank you so much for everyone who entered.
Yeah.
Yes. We had gifts. We had screen caps. We had people once again pulling out the screen cap of me laid out on the table with Neil singing. Like, which is my favorite screen cap? Let's bring it.
People are still sending me slippers. Not physical slippers, but like pictures of slippers. Because
I'm throwing things. Yeah. No, we love when all of the jokes come back to us. We love you guys. I did resort to a random number generator to keep it fair, because otherwise I definitely would have been picking favorites.
Yeah,
so
it would have been hard to remove bias from that.
It would have been like, well, what's my favorite one in the show, and who said that? Well, that's not how we did it. So, our winning tweet is, my favorite part was AJ saying that Lotor would come back as a snail. From Daviona Castillo.
Woo! So,
DM me. Give me your info. I will send you our lovely little picture that is autographed by like eight people.
Yeah.
Hey, we just beat a Five Nights at Freddy's level. That will always be that audio cue for me. We made it to 6 a.m.
So congratulations.
Yes. Congratulations. Get on the Twitters, DM me. We will get this sorted out, and I will get that mailed to you.
Heck yeah.
And yeah, we...
And thanks to Cinesci
for sending that our way. You were wonderful, and we adore you. Thank you so much.
And for promoting the giveaway. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I don't have my pins on today.
Mm-hmm. I definitely have my pins on today.
I also have the little Good Luck Voltron kitty charms that I gave you.
Oh, yeah, I have one.
So thank you for... she didn't recognize me because I was in my Android 18 outfit. I love you. Thank you for helping me buy those. Yeah.
All right, well, thank you guys so much for joining us for this recap.
Yay.
Such a good time. Do you have any projects you're working on that you can tell us about?
Apparently it's coming out August 10th. That we worked on.
We did work on it.
Yeah.
And you know,
we're working on San Diego Comic Con next.
Yes.
We'll be down there.
That's coming up soon.
Yeah. It's this week.
Good announcements, good exciting
stuff
there. We'll
announce some things, not the new season coming out August 10th, because that's already known.
It's already known.
But yeah, some things.
We're on the internet at places.
Yeah. What are those places?
Go.
Twitter, The Art of Lauren M. Instagram, The Best Lauren Montgomery.
Twitter, JDS _
247.
Thank you. Then the other one is JDS _77.
Yeah.
That's Instagram. Yeah. Thanks, guys.
Yeah. Well, thanks again for coming in for our first season recap. We gotta start doing more of these.
Yeah.
It was fun.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, there we go.
There we go. This is exactly our sign off music.
This
is how we're ending the season. Triumphantly returning to Earth to the tune of Sarah McLachlan.
Awesome.
God bless. Emma, where can the people find you?
You can find me all over the internet at my name, Emma Fife, EMMAFYFFE. I will also be at San Diego Comic-Con this weekend. I am on the Movie Fights panel at 7:15 p.m. on Thursday night, July 19th, in room 6BCF, where if you go the next morning at 10 o'clock,
10:15,
that's where the Voltron panel
is.
And then I am also doing a panel over at the library about geek podcasting, and I'll be around all weekend, so if you see me, please say hello.
Woo! I didn't know if you were introducing me. Hi, guys!
Alexis Torres.
You guys can find me all over social media at atorres890. We also have an anime podcast that happens on Tuesdays, so we're covering My Hero, which no one on my panel has seen, so it's going to be interesting.
How?
Just let it happen. Yeah, so be excited for those reactions. Also, Wine on Earp on Sunday. It starts, and it's awesome. You should go check it out.
I'm Megan Salinas. You guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at The Menguin. That's THEMENGUIN. Follow me on Twitter because I got a lot of fun audio drama stuff coming up, so be sure to keep an eye out for those. And I also do a Lost retrospective podcast called No Love Lost.
Woo!
And you can follow Mark Donica on the Twitters at Mark B. Donica. He is doing many a thing, so you should obviously follow him, and he will tell you all about them. And I'm Katie Cullen. You can follow me all over the social medias, as well as on YouTube and Twitch at Kiaxet. That is KIAXET. As always, we have Rooster. I'm dying with this music. Oh my God.
Power through!
You can throw a lot of
in the middle of my rap. My God.
Well done, Steve. It's taken a long time to get here.
We always have Rooster Teeth Reviews Wednesday at 7 p.m. The Attack on Titan after show is coming back. Keep an eye on our social medias to talk about that. And we are
hopefully going to be coming back for this after show once season 10 airs. So again, we're going to be giving you the time slot on social media. Keep an eye out. I also covered AX4 Fanversation, so check out that YouTube channel. I have interviews with Bex and Josh and a whole bunch of other people and booths besides. It was super fun. If you're going to be at InstructureCon in Colorado, I'll be there. If you're going to be at RTX in Austin, I'll be there. It's a busy month, y'all. Thanks again for joining us. It's
been
so
much.
Thank you guys. Thank you guys for an incredible season.
Heck yeah, man.
Thank you, Katie, for taking over the helm.
Thank you for leading this crazy train.
Yeah. I do my best, and as far as you know, I haven't died and been replaced with a clone yet, so we're good.
As far as we know.
And on that note, thank you guys so much for watching. We'll see you next season.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Adopt the Shiro today.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.